Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about Che Guevara. Big Che Guevara fans. The biggest. Podcast is all about Che Guevara. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Frisbee.
Hello.
He's got the razor blades.
That's right.
And the cobras.
And a host of other nicknames. I'm not even sure which one I'm going to keep. It'll be a long, like, 15-name nickname. A good Catholic name. Jason, Razorblades, Cobra, Christopher Frisbee.
Francis. You got to throw Francis in there if you're Catholic.
Francis.
Yeah, speaking of Cobras, I was on the Illogical Contraption show on Friday with Shelby Cobras.
Drop!
Yeah, it was a fun time. I went on there. They do their show live. I figured that we would be talking about conspiracy theories, ghosts, murdersome Bay of Pigs type things that the government's involved in. But we talked about Julian Sands, which is even more up my alley. So I was pretty pleased.
Did you bring up the concept of Julian Sands giving?
No, I guess I should have. I should have tried to convert people. They broadcast out of godless San Francisco. So I'm sure people would probably be pretty apt to convert to Sands giving and Sandsmas. Mary Sandsmas.
Rather. I know we were prepared to.
I converted pretty easy.
I'm
sure the greater San Francisco area would probably convert pretty easy away from their consumeristic crap fests of holidays and join Sandsmas, a time of love and giving and peace. Because that's what San Francisco's into. They're into peace and love. Or maybe they were at one point. I don't know. I watched a documentary called The 60s. That's all I know about San Francisco. And they have seals and ice cream. The times I've been there, seals and ice cream were paramount in San Francisco culture.
Yeah, and fish hoagies and cable cars. Not cable cars, but the, what is that? The cars. I'm at a loss here.
Yeah, smart cars, Priuses and stuff.
That's not the one. The one from the, oh my God. I'm losing my goddamn mind.
You're thinking about Rick Ocasek is who you're thinking about.
V-Cars. Yeah, that's it. The San Francisco beat.
They were just what you needed. Oh, well. But yeah, so I was on that show. It was fun. You can go to illogicalcontraption.blogspot.com or go on iTunes and search for Illogical Contraption and listen to the episode I was on and listen to other episodes because they do a fun show. They talk about ghosts sometimes. And you can't beat that. Can you beat that, Jason Frisbee? You don't believe in ghosts, so maybe you can beat that.
No, I mean, I'm not going to say I can beat it for the sake that it sounds like an awesome show. And
yeah, I suppose that was probably the wrong phrase I was using. Beat that.
Sounds like
their show, Frisbee. Beat it.
Top that.
One up there. Yeah. Are you making a Teen Witch reference?
Yeah, of course I am. Because you sound exactly like that girl. Top that. How are you going to play it like that? Talk about ghosts like that. Top that. Stop that. That's how I top that. I reference Teen Witch instead.
Excellent.
I see your ghost, and I raise you a Teen Witch. I do not see your ghost, because I obviously do not believe in them.
Yeah.
Obviously. I've already stated my case about it in this episode, so that's why I said obviously. I don't know what I don't know where my head is tonight. I'm just, ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe in ghosts, so I would probably end up talking about
Believe in the Bay of Pigs?
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to talk about that.
Do you believe that the government brought down the Twin Towers on 9/11?
No. And I would probably talk about not specifically that, but there's a video of David Lynch trying to talk about that. And I've always wanted to discuss it. Have you seen this where he's sitting with, it looks like a German interviewer. Not looks like, sorry. Sounds like somebody from Germany, like has a thick German accent. She's asking these questions as they're watching video footage of those controversial, you know, was it a government plot, conspiracy theory tapes on YouTube. And it's just the two of them looking at a laptop, and you see what they're watching, and the video kind of stops and everything as they're in real time watching it, but the video they're watching shows, like, you know, here's the explosives where they were probably planted, and metal doesn't melt that fast, and, you know, and all those same arguments. And David Lynch is, from what I remember, all about it. He's like, I don't understand how people don't think that this wasn't a government setup. So he's really into it, and I'm not. Like, those are huge planes, and they exploded into buildings, so there's going to be destruction no matter what. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, people are so weird. Like, all the 9/11 birthers are, because that's basically what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, not to get on a whole 9/11 jag here at the beginning of the show, but the best way to start a show.
Yeah, yeah. Che Guevara, 9/11. I don't know where the hell we're headed today, but
who knows? It's a wacky show. But yeah, like, it's like the buildings didn't blow up in a way that looked like a Michael Bay movie, so everybody doesn't believe it. Like, they blew up in a totally realistic way, so people are like, why? I can see the pixels. This is bullshit.
They must get very disappointed, like, every 4th of July, too.
Yeah, yeah.
What, is this an M80? It doesn't look like an M80.
There are no...
explode like it.
There are no dinosaur robots here. This isn't the 4th of July. Nah. But yeah, Illogical Contraption. Go download that episode and other episodes. It was fun. Those guys are fun. Maybe they'll come on this show one day. And maybe I'll go back on their show one day and spread the truth about Julian Sands. Again. Maybe yes. I should just become a missionary. Like, I should just go door to door with Julian Sands DVDs.
I appreciate that you're taking this Julian Sands Holiday Association to the next level and just making it a full-fledged religion.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm going to have to do. Build statues in his honor.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
There shall be no false prophets before Julian Sands.
Yeah. And like, instead of like those Christians who would always like hang out outside my high school with those little tiny Bibles and like hand them out, like I'll just go hang out outside of high schools and hand out like little tiny mini discs of Julian Sands movies. The abridged versions. Like just the best clips from Warlock 2 and Boxing Helena. Yes, yeah, so how's your week going? Did you do anything fun?
Not that I can recall. You asked me too soon. I think I didn't do anything fun.
Well, tomorrow you're going to have fun. You're going to go and enjoy John Holmes' birthday party.
Yes, there you go. Tomorrow will be most fun because I'm going to see John Holmes at Go Bananas. I was waiting for a drop there, but it didn't happen.
So I
could hear the click, and I'm like, no, I guess it's not playing. Yeah, I expect to see our frequent guest, good friend, John Holmes, on his birthday performing at Go Bananas Comedy Club in Cincinnati, which would be fun.
Yeah, yeah, that I'm sad I can't make it today. I would like to see his comedy. I would like to see his face.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that'll be fun. I'm jelly. Jealous. I'm jealous. I'm not going to say
that. You should be soup jelly, but jealous is fine too. Been a weird twist. He's having me, like, cart around another friend of ours. Like, I thought I was going to tag along with them. I'm just calling it out on the show just to make him feel bad. But, yeah. So now I have to be chauffeur to another dude and haul him back to Dayton.
Who's this other?
A guy named Frank.
Frank Lee?
You know what? That's the one. I always welcome applause.
Yeah. Well, that applause.
I really don't mind.
That's like, Frank's applause.
Oh, Frank's applause?
Sorry. I know what
I'm... Fuck yourself, audience. I don't mind, really. I was just being shitty. It'll be a good time. I haven't seen Frank in forever anyway. So
I like that Frank.
Yeah. His tweets are hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, we should get that Frank on the show.
Hells yeah.
And John. We should. At the same time. That way they'll fight. They're like locusts. You put them in a jar, and they'll fight.
Yeah, yeah. They are like, they are the same, but like magnets that are the same polar side. Like if you were trying to push two, what is it? I don't know. Forget that analogy.
Sounds
I'm really
like,
bad at science right now.
Sounds like you don't even know how magnets work.
Magnets, how do they work? Yeah. SNL jokes.
Speaking of SNL jokes, did you watch Saturday Night Live this weekend?
No, I didn't.
Well, apparently there was some sketch that like everybody's going crazy for, where Fred Armisen, I assume, as Barack Obama, is living in the world of The Cosby Show. And it's like supposed to be this wacky president in a sitcom thing. And yeah. Trey Parker and Matt Stone did that 10 fucking years ago with That's My Bush. And now Saturday Night Live is reaping the benefits of a show that was too crazy and controversial to stay on the air 10 years ago. Now they've turned it into a safe little happy fucking 3-minute sketch. I hate Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. I mean, it's not very good anymore.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. In 10 years, they're going to do a sketch about...
what if the president was in a sitcom?
Or they'll do a sketch about like a mean janitor who doesn't get along with the interns at a hospital and they are scrubs. I mean, it's just ridiculous how unoriginal and shitty Saturday Night Live is.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty bad. I mean, they're trying to just play it safe most of the time. It's only when you get to like the end of the episode that they'll throw out something that's kind of risque or interesting.
Yeah, when everybody's asleep.
Yeah, exactly. Now we can roll out the big guns.
Yeah. But anyway, back to this John Holmes. It's his birthday.
Yeah.
And that's good.
How are you going to celebrate his birthday, not being in Dayton and all?
Probably by the same way he's going to celebrate his birthday, by drinking about 30 weirdo German beers.
He actually doesn't do too many beers. He'll probably drink like 30 Manhattans.
I don't even know what that is. Doesn't sound
extra
German,
dirty. No, it's not. It's classy as hell.
Yeah, he would always bring over these weird beers, like, this one's blueberry, and this one's made of the gummy juice from the Gummy Bears cartoon. Their drink, make them bounce around. I don't understand. Like, if you drink anything crazier than a Budweiser, I can't understand you or your way of life.
Yeah, this is why you don't understand me most times.
I don't understand anybody. As I'm the only person who goes into a bar and orders a Budweiser, aside from, Jimmy Hicks, the world's biggest Cavaliers fan. It's just me and him together at the sports bar drinking Budweiser. Yeah, I will probably celebrate John Holmes' birthday late, as I will be going to Dayton next month or so, I think. My brother is getting married. So I'm apparently going to his wedding. My mom is buying me and the wife a ticket to go, which is like awful. Like I was like, you know, at first I was like, oh, I would love to go to this wedding, but I'm so poor and covered in tarantulas. You know, I just can't make it. And
yeah.
My mom was like hell, you're making it to my only son's wedding. And, and so, you know, she's like, I'm buying you tickets and you're coming. And which is good, you know, not having to buy plane tickets because I'm poor. But the bad part is like my mom called me and she's like, all right, here's the schedule. You know, you're going on a trip for a week. You'll leave Monday morning. You'll arrive in Dayton Friday morning. You'll watch the wedding for 3 hours. Then you're getting back on a plane and you'll be back in California 3 Wednesdays later. Basically, like it's my mom's trying to really cheap out. And it's going to take, like, I go on this vacation for 7 days. Literally about 5.5 of those days are going to be on planes and cars and trains and buses. And it's pretty awful.
It can't be like 5.5 days.
Quite,
can it?
Quite literally.
Oh, God.
It's, yeah, like we got to go to LA. It's cheaper to fly out of LA, which is about 4 hours away, 7 hours away if there's traffic. So there'll be that. Then it takes about 5 hours to fly to Chicago, not to Wisconsin, not to Dayton. My mom lives in Wisconsin. My Obviously, my brother lives in Dayton. Not flying to any of those places. Cheaper to fly to Chicago, so we'll be going to Chicago.
And yeah, as a hub, right?
Yeah. Then going to Milwaukee to spend the night. And then in the morning, we'll be driving from Milwaukee to Dayton, which is another 8 or 9 hours. So it'll take 2 full days just to get there, and then that same route back. So I guess I was embellishing by,
no, you, that's...
by about 12 hours.
Wow.
It's hellish. It would be a hellish grind. So we'll see how this plays out.
Damn, I had no idea.
I know, doesn't that sound awful? And then my mom also smokes about several packs of cigarettes a day, like 8 or 9 packs or something. So I'll be driving from Milwaukee to Dayton with my mom, who smokes constantly. So that'll be fun. In April, so no chance of having the windows down.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
It's going to be raining. You don't want wetness to get into the car.
Yeah. So I'll probably die of emphysema halfway, which will be good, I guess. I'll luck out. And then, yeah, so we'll get there. And then my brother's leaving immediately after the wedding to go on his honeymoon. So I won't even really get to see my brother at all.
You'll get to look at him.
Yeah.
But you won't be able to talk to him.
I'll get to see him from afar while watching the wedding.
Single tear running down your cheek.
Yeah.
He's all grown up. Are you acting as best man in the wedding or as a groomsman?
I'm not sure. My mom told me that I am going to be best man, but my brother hasn't told me. So I don't know if it's just that my mom wants me to be the best man and she's making the executive decision, or if my brother's just lazy and hasn't told me. To be fair, anytime I talk to my brother, we do get sidetracked and talk about Booby Gibson and Jeremy Lin pretty much exclusively. We only talk about those two situations. But they're more important than a wedding. Everything going on with Jeremy Lin is way more important than a wedding, to be fair. So I don't know. This is going to be absolutely the worst trip ever, I think. And then I'll have like literally about 4 hours of free time to try to pack in seeing everybody I've ever known and the other part of my family and try to do a podcast with you. So it's not going to work at all. It's going to be terrible.
It'll be like, yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a car crash, but I'll facilitate whatever I can to make sure we get the podcast recorded.
We'll have to do the podcast at the wedding, I think.
That sounds good. Yeah. Here we are live.
Yeah.
Money Matt's wedding. Where's he going for the honeymoon?
Somewhere in Florida. And I understand how much of a villain I sound. Like, you know, poor Parker. He doesn't want a free trip. But I don't. I'm a hermit. I got to have things under the right circumstances for me to leave the house, even just to go to the library or something, which is like 2 blocks away. Everything's got to be right.
Right.
Everything's got to be absolutely perfect. But yeah, I think the dog and the cat will probably die while we're gone. I'm just going to leave their food open, the food bags on the floor open, and just keep the water in the sink running. That way it overflows onto the ground so they can reach it. And hopefully that'll take care of them for a week. But if not, they will be dead.
Sounds like you nailed it. I think you've got good pet hosting down. Just make sure that they like lock up if they ever go out.
Yeah, yeah. They probably won't go out, though. Or maybe they will. Maybe they'll like smarten up after 4 days of being on the brink of death. They'll smarten up and learn how to get outside.
Learn how to order a pizza.
Yeah. Oh, that Cappy loves pizza. He would really like to go and get some of that thin crust Cassano's pizza in Dayton. But that's he never will. Such a shame. I'm going to be enjoying all the best chili dogs in Dayton, just thinking about giving pieces and bites to my dog while he's alone and sad. I'm probably going to cry the entire trip.
Oh, speaking of which, I've actually made a little bit of cash recently.
I thought you were going to say, speaking of which, I'm crying right now.
That too. I'm always crying when I'm on this show. Just constant tears flowing.
Yeah.
I'm all dried out by the end of the hour or so. Really fun show today.
I predict that for this show at least, as we've got a China story coming up in the lightning, man.
Oh yeah. It's gonna be waterfalls. It's gonna be a TLC song all in my face. Yeah. I just had Skyline Chili for the first time since being back. Well, not, no. I had before. Fuck, I don't know what I'm saying. I had Skyline Chili recently, and it is still very delicious.
I would imagine so. See, that's another, like, that's why I have to have a full week in Dayton, because I've already got it mapped out. I get there Monday night, I get Cousin Vinny's. Tuesday morning, Skyline. Tuesday night, Gold Star. Wednesday morning, Cassano's. Wednesday night, BD's. Thursday morning, that good Chinese restaurant in Centerville. Thursday night, a different kind of thin crust pizza. I really enjoy the food they got there. Oh, and then the rest of the week is just Indian food, because apparently there are no Indian people in California, and I can't get any goddamn decent Indian food.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? It's strange that there's such like an influx of Indian restaurants in Dayton. You got Jeet, you got Ajanta.
Mm-hmm.
You got Indian Chaat Cafe over in Miamisburg, which is amazing.
Yeah, I know. There's so much good Indian food in Dayton. I got spoiled. And then I come out here, I go to an Indian restaurant, and they've got General Tso's chicken out. I say, what the fuck is this? General Tso's chicken? Sweet and sour pork? This is not what I wanted.
Yeah, did you ever go to like a... There's that Chinese buffet in... what was it? It's like near Airway or something. It's in that shopping plaza with the Goodwill.
Oh, yeah. I love that place.
Yeah, but then they have like something ridiculous. Like they have that buffet set out and you have the crab rangoons and like the steamed dumplings actually come in that wooden bamboo dumpling thing. Mm-hmm. But then they also have like hot dogs or some bullshit.
Yeah.
There's like pizza.
Yeah.
It's like classic Chinese cuisine.
I always thought that was weird. Yeah, like that said a lot of Chinese places I've been to. I guess it's for kids or something, or just people, or just Americans.
Yeah. It's like macaroni and cheese is one of the things. And it's like, you may have the noodles, but the cheese, seriously, no. This is not, it's not even like one of those funny novelty things. You're like, oh, what, coconut soup and a burger? Well, I guess. It's like macaroni and cheese and dumplings? No.
Yeah, and like,
this is not a thing.
And like, pieces of like barbecued chicken and pieces of pizza, like little hot dogs. And then out here, it's even worse than that. I go to the Chinese buffet, the one Chinese buffet in town here, and they've got all that. Yeah, they've got the Chinese food and stuff, which is pretty good. And then they've also got like the little hot dogs, little hamburgers, little pizzas, little like corn dogs and stuff, like all the American stuff. And then because there's such a high Hispanic population, I guess, and they've got to cater to, those people's kids and the American versions of those people, that there's also like little tacos. And like little chimichangas and like little rice plates and stuff you can get at the Chinese buffet. It's really weird. Like half of the food at the Chinese buffet here is not even Chinese at all.
Yeah, that's really strange to me. But I know the feeling though. Like you're going to an Indian buffet. Like here's some General Tso's for you. Here's some mini hot dogs also. Yeah. I didn't even know you liked Indian food.
I do. It's so good. I like the spices.
You like it the spice.
I like,
you like it the naan.
I like it they put it in a big tomato sauce.
You love the big naan bread. What's your favorite Indian food that you can get there?
Green. I think it's green. I don't know. I just point to the colors.
When you mentioned the General Tso's chicken, for a second, I thought you might be talking about like tandoori chicken, which always tastes awesome. It's like that roasted spiced chicken, usually like thighs and legs, and it looks bright red. It looks like radiation, neon red.
Oh, that stuff's good.
It tastes like carnival chicken, which sounds weird, but I mean like when you go to like a Renaissance fair or something, like the Ohio Renaissance fair, and you get a giant turkey leg. That's what it tastes like to me.
Yeah,
so it's like a mini version of that without having to go to the Renaissance fair and blow a ton of money and fuck all, just goof around with knights and whatnot. Oh, speaking of culturally incorrect compilations or incorrect reference points, did I ever tell you about going to the Renaissance Fair? And it was like, they had this games arcade sort of thing, not like an arcade video game, but these booths set up. It's like, throw a dagger. My lad, and we were harping on the fact that the Renaissance Fair isn't really about the Renaissance, but it's like trying to be medieval and about the Renaissance, and they're just hitting a huge gamut of stuff. Now saying, yeah, this is kind of a free for all. It'd be nice if there was like a way to throw like a ninja star around this area. And sure enough, at the end, it's like, throw a ninja star, English, you know? And I was like, well, fuck, I have to do it now. It's like, these are called shurikens. They're from the Far East. It's like, yeah, okay. No need to get racist about it or whatever.
Well, this is Far East.
Yeah, to them it was. Well, whatever. I mean, it's goofy as hell was my point. It's like, yeah, I mean, probably one of the only good lines from Cable Guy is when Janine Garofalo is at that medieval times thing, and she's saying that there's no silverware because they have no silverware back in medieval times, and she asks if they want, like, Pepsi or Sprite. Like, oh, were those drinks in medieval times? So just fucking order something. And that's exactly how I felt at that point, too. But that's beyond the point. Thing is, the only great thing I liked about Renaissance Fair was the food, because they would just give you that giant turkey leg. And it was usually way overpriced, but yeah, you can get like mini versions of that.
Yeah, that giant turkey leg's great. I would always get like this huge bread bowl full of chili. That was always fantastic, too.
Yeah, yeah, like they had the stew bowls and everything.
Yeah, that's the best part. But yeah, like going to the Renaissance Fair and then being able to throw ninja stars around is tantamount to go. Like when you go to the Renaissance Fair, you want to do Renaissance-y stuff. You don't want to go to Ninja Corner. Just like when you go to the Chinese restaurant, you don't want to have a taco and a hot dog.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my point, is that that was a very similar experience.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just insane. Like, I can literally, like, walk outside of my house and, like, look left, look right, and there are, like, 30 places where I can buy tacos and hot dogs. And only one Chinese food place, and the Chinese food place is trying to push these tacos and hot dogs on me. Pushers.
The pusher man, yeah.
Sons of bitches.
Tacos and hot dogs.
Those tacos they have there are magnifique, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, which do you prefer between the two? But it sounds like tacos went out.
Yeah, man, tacos. Oh, man, my entire life. Like, I would always go to, like Mexican food places because, like, I like the Mexico food in Dayton. And I was always like, oh, the Mexico food, magnifique, one of my favorite foods. And then I go here to California. It blows your mind how good the Mexican food is. I eat Mexican food, like, every day. It's fucking great.
What's your favorite dish? Do you like the south of the border tostada wrap from Taco Bell? Where it's like that...
No!
It looks like a fucking alien disc where it's a multi-folded layered thing.
I'm talking about real Mexican food here, Frisbee.
I'm talking about
Del Taco. I go to Del Taco. I get the French fries and the hot dog. It's great. The best Mexican food.
So that's where you feel like going when you feel like going south of the border?
No, well, I go to Del Taco a lot because it's good, but there's some real restaurants out here, real Mexican food restaurants, and real Mexican food supermarkets, too. Supermarkets that blow me away. I went in there the first time, and there's a guy just, like, hacking up the head of a horse on a counter. He's like, you want some of the food? You want a cut? I don't know why he's Italian, but...
Well, everybody in the Indian restaurant to you is Italian also. I like the sauce. Today we got the nicest sauce with the naan bread.
Everybody's Italian to me. Yeah.
Did you watch any of that Italia thing that Mark recommended?
No, I looked for it. I couldn't find it.
Oh, God. Yeah, the Italian stereotyping on that cartoon. I could only watch it up until that point. And he's like, get ready, because when they reference Italy in this cartoon, it gets real racist really quickly. And sure enough, like, they reference this guy as Italy. You know, he's the icon of Italy in this weird cartoon UN thing. And he turns around and his only line is, pasta, just really slow.
That's great. I think I'm going to do all my, like, ethnic stereotyping based on like friends I have. Like, for instance, like, what's your ethnic background?
I don't know, man. It's a mix. It's like German.
Yeah, it's based on your German heritage. I'm gonna do all my stereotyping based on you. Like, German people, they love the BBC. German people love
they love... Oh, just from how you know me.
Yeah,
I'm the reference point. Okay, yeah.
They don't like hearing about porn. German people right. like porn. Based on you, German people don't like porn. They love indie rock. Love David Bowie. Germans.
Yeah.
And
oh God, yeah. Love David Bowie. All Germans do.
All my Italian stereotyping will be based on Mark Fredo from the Junk Food Dinner.
Drop.
Italian people hate remakes. Italian people love VHSs. That's how it's going to go for now. That's how I'm going to do my ethnic stereotype.
That's awesome. I love if you got like kind of bitter and spiteful about it too. Like anytime you hear Let's Dance on the radio, like, oh man, some Germans would love to hear this right now.
Yeah, it's going to make me much more racist.
Yeah, yeah. In really unusual, unconventional ways.
God, yeah, I'll be watching like a World War II documentary. These goddamn Germans. Goddamn Ziggy Stardust albums.
Mussolini shows up. You're like, oh, look at that fascist. I bet he has a ton of VHS.
Oh, he's got so much out of print stuff. He makes me sick.
First run only elitist. Look at him puffing out his chest.
This Mussolini would never go see the Nightmare on Elm Street remake with me. He would hate it. This Hitler, he always wants to go see They Might Be Giants.
Supersonic, idiotic, disconnected, not respected. Who would ever really want to go and top that? Such a waste of pretty face, but hanging in your nose face. I wish that you would take a look and really stop that. Top that. Well, stop that. I don't really give up about trying to top that. Top that. Stop that. I wish you finally take a real look and really stop that.
Are you tired of movie podcasts where everyone is talking like an asshole about stupid shit like The Godfather and The Shawshank Redemption? Then you need to hip yourself to Junk Food Dinner, a podcast where we value laser guns and Dean Cameron more than acting ability or feasible plots. We love any cheesy old cult stuff you got. The more rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls, the better. And we're not assholes. Check us out at www.junkfooddinner.com or search iTunes.
Yeah, so I think now on the show we're going to do something new, something fresh, that is not new or fresh at all. In the past, we've done The Wisdom of Tracy Morgan, where I was reading Tracy Morgan's autobiography, and he would say just ridiculous things that I would then read, share with everybody. We've also... better than that, done The Wisdom of Warcraft, where, you know, I play some Warcraft, people say very embarrassing things to a bunch of internet strangers, and I relay that to you guys. This week we're going to try The Wisdom of Jeter. I have a friend named Jeter. He says the most bizarre things on Facebook, and I thought that I would, you know, help spread his message by reading some of this on the show. Here is one such Wisdom of Jeter. Think you're not part of the picture? Do you consume, own a car, a house, a cell phone, or ever once raised crops and made a family meal without needing a grocery store? Ha! You're all materialistic pigs! Hominids are a viral, paradoxical failure. We are supposed to all evolve, learn, and improve, but nope! We still war, and we still convert innocents into false deities and judge people like gods and murder animals. But believe killing human is all evil. Terrorists, they might have some good reasons to kill our dumbasses. Hate me, or just wake up. 2012, the end of the world, it's us that leads to our demise. Clitoris, standard with your mom in OnStar, in case your wife blows you and you hit an old gypsy woman.
I had you all the way up till clitoris. Like, what's that last part mean to you?
I don't know, but clitoris is in all capital letters.
Like an exclamation sort of thing? I think, or like he's addressing somebody named clitoris?
Maybe. Maybe it's somebody's initials. Or maybe it's some sort of reference to that Stephen King movie, Thinner, The Gypsy Woman. Maybe.
The OnStar thing that throws me off.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, the clitoris and OnStar Gypsy Woman part is the least weird, probably.
Well, what's the most weird then? Like saying that Tara should kill our stupid asses, or?
Yeah, maybe getting on Facebook and talking about how terrorists should kill the materialistic American pigs. Maybe. Being on Facebook while doing that from your smartphone. It's possible.
Would you ever raise your own crops to feed your family? To make a meal to feed your family?
Yeah, I grew a little bit of oregano. You know what I mean.
Well.
Yeah.
That's one way to break bad.
And now
it's time
for the lightning round.
First story in the lightning round is that Chris Brown rips into WWE champ CM Punk, telling him that he has inferior man junk. Apparently, CM Punk, who has a very active Twitter account and is the current WWE heavyweight champion, tweeted that he would like to curb stomp Chris Brown at an upcoming WWE event because he wants Brown to, quote, fight somebody that can defend themselves. And when Chris Brown got wind of this, he tweeted in reply to CM Punk that he needs more followers. He's such a leader, not to mention the roids he's on has made it utterly impossible for him to pleasure women. For him pleasure a woman. Sorry, I wanted to read that correctly.
Yeah.
And then he later added, CM Punk, contact my assistant and I'll have him send you an autographed pic for my biggest fan. And CM Punk has not replied to this. Part of this, if I'm correct, and yeah, the article actually confirms this. CM Punk is, I'm not sure the wrestler's real name, but he's a staunch straight edge person, and I would assume part of that is not taking steroids, correct?
Yeah. Also, he's like a tiny little guy. Like, I'm sure what happened here is that Chris Brown was like, hey, who the fuck's CM Punk, friends? And his friends were like, he's like a wrestler or something. So he just imagined Kevin Nash or Big Show or somebody. And was like, oh, this motherfucker does steroids. But in reality, it's very obvious that CM Punk does not do steroids.
Because he's just a little guy.
Yeah, he's like a little bit buffer than you, Frisbee. That's it.
I don't know. I have been working out.
Yeah, you got that big beefy arm now. I forgot.
I do, yeah. It's not just one either. It's two of them.
But yeah, I don't think anybody would accuse you of being on steroids, though.
No, definitely not. Yeah, it's still very much like early G.I. Joe rather than recent G.I. Joe.
I like that.
That's true.
But yeah, this is wild that Chris Brown and CM Punk are fighting.
Yeah, I hope something does come of it, even if it's like a publicity thing. It would just be nice, you know.
Yeah, or I mean, even if it was like a... You know, like, even if what came from it was CM Punk beating the shit out of Chris Brown because he's a piece of crap. Like, that would be great.
How possible do you think that is?
I don't know. It seems like CM Punk likes to go on and talk a lot of crap. Like, after everything that happened with Ben Weasel, he punched a girl at South by Southwest. And CM Punk was like, Ben Weasel, I'm going to beat you up. And then nothing ever happened. So maybe CM Punk is all. Maybe he's a tough internet guy. He just wants to talk crap from the internet.
He's a pretty tough guy anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's probably a tough guy, but it's possible that he's only tough when he's got a steel chair
to sit on while he's typing on his laptop.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, it's probably nothing will ever come of this, but I mean, I'm glad that people hate Chris Brown because, when something happens and you like, beat up one of the most beloved women, you know, and like all of America.
Yeah.
You can't also then have the attitude of, I'll beat people up. Like, I'll beat up more girls. And like, if you give me any shit about it, I'll beat you up and beat up your girls and stuff like this. Like, that's not the proper attitude to go with. But then again, I guess if you're getting Grammys and stuff and nobody is mad at you, I guess maybe it is the proper attitude. Ben Weasel had a very apologetic attitude, and people still hate him. People love Chris Brown. So maybe Ben Weasel should have just come out and said, yeah, I'll beat up all the girls. Fuck you people.
And people just further promotes the theory that Americans just love dickheads.
Yeah, yeah.
Just love them. It doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl. Just Americans love dickheads. From that analogy you just used, Ben Weasel hit a person, a girl, at his concert, apologized for it profusely, realizing that, you know, it's wrong to be hitting anyone, and still gets shit for it. And Chris Brown still has tons of Twitter followers. And when somebody makes a comment about what a shitty person he is for beating up women, then he decides to come back and retaliate with, oh man, you've got inferior male genitalia. And I'm going to give you a picture because you're my biggest fan.
Yeah.
It's like, what a taunting, immature-ish attitude.
Yeah.
And he gets away with it. Like, the devil's fucking run amok, man. That's how it goes. Americans revel in it. They love it.
Yeah. I love that he calls out CM Punk's inferior genitals, because it's like, basically what he's saying is, in order to beat up women, you need to have like a really big, big piece. Like, you know, like I get my big Johnson because I beat up so many ladies.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not the argument he meant to make, but it's the argument that he's making. So it's another shitty Chris Brown moment, and we'll have to deal with it until, I don't know, he overdoses or something.
Yeah. Which
I don't think will happen. I mean, he's got a lot of handlers, I assume.
Yeah, then, like, I mean, things would only get worse from there. Like, you know, if he were to overdose and die, like, tomorrow of drugs, then he would just become, like, the most famous person on Earth, as these things tend to go.
Yeah, I heard that his he did some performance at, what was it, the MTV? Was it the Grammys?
Yeah, the
was on recently?
It's the Grammys, yeah.
Okay. And, yeah, even Nicki Minaj had a Twitter response saying, like, wow, you really brought the house down. That was awesome. It's like, why would, you know, same thing. It's like, ladies, come on. Why are you praising this guy? He's such an asshole. I'm sure he's a great performer, but God, I don't even know if he's a great performer. Have you ever seen him perform?
He's very good at dancing.
Well, I guess that, again, guys got fancy feet, so might as well love him and let him beat up as many women as he wants. Fucking mind-boggling. Yeah, just celebrity in America. Oh, let him beat up women. He's such a good dancer.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, the cover of I Will Always Love You was so good that we have to cherish this crackhead, this person who's been doing crack for 20 years. We got to their beloved. Haven't you ever heard I Want to Dance with Somebody? It's so good. We have to say that crack is a good thing.
Crack is a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't even.
You don't think crack is a good thing?
No, of course not.
Me neither. But if you got a couple of hits under your belt, then no one will criticize you for being addicted to crack for 20 years. If you're just some shitty homeless person, then everybody thinks you're a bad person for doing crack.
Well, see, here's an interesting proposition then. I mean, you're making this Whitney Houston reference about how when she died, people were like, oh man, all that, she, you know, a loss of talent. And you're focusing, well, she's been addicted to crack for a while, kind of squandered her talent, right?
Yeah.
So what would be the difference between her and someone like William S. Burroughs, or someone who's more like famously like alcoholic, like Charles Bukowski, or another drug user like Hunter S. Thompson, who killed himself? I mean, these people are all drug users, abusers, sometimes addicted. Not addicted to crack, but, I mean, with Burroughs, like, heroin was a big part of his life. I don't know if you were a Burroughs fan.
No, not really. But, I mean, with Hunter S. Thompson, I mean, no one is going to make the argument that, if Hunter S. Thompson would have stopped drinking, he would have had another fear and loathing in him. You know, like people tend to do now with Whitney Houston. Like, oh, too bad the drugs got in the way. Like,
Yeah.
You know, like Hunter S. Thompson, the last half or more of his career was just sad and not good. And I think the difference is that people are saying, oh, Whitney Houston, the whole thing was good. And if not for that crack, she would have made a huge comeback, which is not true at all.
Well, do you think that's part of, like, the unrealistic expectations for a person who's, like, in popular mainstream culture, as opposed to someone who's in popular counterculture? I mean, we have more realistic expectations for someone like Thompson, because we already know, like, he's got the best work under his belt, and all he's been doing for, like, the past couple decades was just living out in the woods, drinking whiskey by the jarfuls and shooting guns, and his secretary in the foot.
Yeah, and writing really bad ESPN columns.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Whereas Whitney Houston, I mean, she had a reality TV show for about a year, and all I heard about it, like, in reference to it during some of these reports, was that there was something where, like, she had a suppository or something.
Yeah, Bobby Brown had to put pills in her butt because she couldn't poop.
Right. And how attractive is that? Like, how do people watch that and say, yeah, she's probably got another, I Will Always Love You in her.
That's my point. I mean, if for all of the lows that Hunter S. Thompson had to go through, like, he did nothing so low as to be on television.
Be on reality TV, yeah.
Be on reality TV with Bobby Brown's hand up his ass.
That's, yeah, that, right. So, totally agree, like, yeah. Reality TV is the lowest of the low, but go on.
So, yeah, to idolize Whitney Houston in such a way when the lows are so low, like, people, I don't know. And then the highs, her highs, let's be honest here. Nobody's listening to I Want to Dance with Somebody in 2012. Like, nobody's still rocking out to those records. Like,
yeah.
By any means.
No one, right.
Like, with Fear and Loathing, you can pick that book up today. Like, it endures. Like,
right.
It'd be like, you know, in 20 years, if the girl from Len died and everybody was like, oh, that Steal My Sunshine song is, oh, you know, what an enduring legacy. Like, I mean, Whitney Houston made shitty disposable pop. Like, she's nobody to worship or idolize.
My joke a minute ago was that I still listen to I Want to Dance with Somebody, like, unironically. That was a joke, though. I really don't. I remember hearing it a lot when I was a kid. But yeah, it's
silly.
I see where you're going with this. It's disposable.
Yeah, it's the 80s version of Backstreet Boys and stuff. Like, it's shit. It is shit, people.
I'm going to move on to the next story now.
Alright.
Jeremy Lin headline slur was honest mistake. Fired ESPN editor Anthony Federico claims. Somehow that doesn't read correctly.
They got no editor at ESPN. They can't write headlines anymore.
Ah, yes, but this is for the New York Daily News.
Oh,
I see what it is. Jeremy Lin headline slur was honest mistake. However, fired ESPN editor Anthony Federico claims. Yeah, after a New York Knicks game, the headline from Anthony Federico for ESPN referenced a chink in the armor. Jeremy Lin's 9 turnovers cost Knicks in streak-stopping loss to Hornets. And this was actually seen as a racial slur, as Lin is Asian, Chinese specifically.
It's very Lin-sensitive of him to write that.
Very nice. This is why you brought this up, isn't it? Just so you can make that pun?
Yeah.
What I like about this is that the sub-headline for it is Federico's comment about this, saying this had nothing to do with me being cute or punny. So once I saw that, I was like, well, obviously there's something very punny in here, or else Parker would not have picked it up.
Yeah. Have you been following this? Like, had you heard of this?
Not this. I just know that Jeremy Lin has a ton of puns based on his last name.
That he does.
Oh. And, like, the Lin Sanity. In fact, there's an ad for Lin Sanity stuff on the side of this.
That's ironic.
Sort of. Yeah. And I did not hear about this story. I think it's funny, though. Like, all it reminded me of was how obvious this should not have played alongside one another. Like, maybe this guy should have been fired. It's pretty lazy reporting to not notice something so blatantly racist. And the guy said his wife is Asian, which makes me even believe more. It's like, you should know better then. I mean, that's how you should know better, is if you have an Asian wife, you have this connection.
Well, I mean, you know, but on the other side of that, it's he's not thinking about it. Like, his brain just doesn't go to a this is racist place, which makes him even less racist, I think.
Which makes him even less of a good reporter. I mean, in that case, all like
this must be racist.
I think you're thinking of unbiased, but yeah, well, let's go for racist too. Yeah, it's that's what my point is. Like, if he's not picking up on that, I mean, I don't know what else to say without being more racist, you know?
Adding more racism.
Yeah, like, if there's, I don't want to go into it because I'm just going to dig myself a hole. See, that's the problem. Like, I want to comment on, like, other forms of racism that he could have accomplished. I'm just saying that he could have accomplished more forms of racism.
You're saying that he could have called Jeremy Lin the N-word instead.
No, but he could, but he could have referenced something just as bad for, like, Black community in sports, somebody of the Black community in sports, and that would have been just as bad, or just as far as reporting goes. Like, why use such a colloquialism? Chink in the armor. Come on. Like, the guy didn't watch Eastbound and Down season one. There's an entire bit at the end of that last episode where Kenny Powers, like, the archetype racist John Rocker sports phenom, he's just shooting his mouth off to these grade schoolers. I mean, if I'm explaining this, then you probably haven't seen it. Have you seen Eastbound and Down?
Yeah, yeah.
I like okay, it. Then yeah, you remember this then, at the end of it, where he's like, you were the chinks in my armor. You were the chinks. You were the chinks. And he's yelling it because he's racist. Like, it's funny because this is the phrase that comes to his mind about chinks in the armor. You know, that's what he would say. So yeah, this guy, he says that he just relies on it, and he's like, I use it probably hundreds of times or dozens of times in my reporting. Well, yeah, you probably should have thought of something else then.
Yeah, you know, when I first heard of this story, I was like, oh, this fucking, you know, I heard the headline and stuff, and I was like, this man is the most racist bigot imaginable to put a bad taint on an American hero like Jeremy Lin, you know? Like a modern day Spartacus. This Jeremy Lin. Just you know, the pinnacle of man. Jeremy Lin. He's on my fantasy basketball team, by the way. Which is why he's helping me win week after week. That's why I love him. But yeah, like, you know, at first I was like upset, you know, I was like, man, this is, you know, that's a bullshit joke. Like, you know, it's not like you're writing for The Onion or whatever. Like, you're writing for ESPN. Like, you shouldn't be making jokes like that. And then I read this where he said it wasn't his intention, and you know, he's used it many times before. And I mean, it's a fairly common phrase to use in sports writing. I mean, it applies to activities, to gladiator-esque activities to begin with. I mean, it, you know, it applies to gladiators, you know, and modern day gladiators, of course, are athletes. So, I mean, it's the correct term to be using. And if he says he doesn't mean it, you know, in a racist way, then, I mean, it seems like so unbelievable that he would put it in there in a racist way. So I guess it's believable that he wouldn't, that that's not his meaning. Because it's like, I just couldn't believe that somebody could put that on purpose. And I mean, even if he did it on accident and just didn't catch it, like, I don't think he should be fired for, not anticipating other people's racism.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, it's pretty obvious that this guy wasn't thinking, but part of me is like, God, that's pretty bad though. Like, he should at least, I mean, he did issue the apology, I guess. It's just funny though that he's like, oh yeah, I just use it as a crutch. I understand what you're saying, that it's part of the reporting anyway, just because of that analogy you made for, you know, modern day gladiatorial athletic bouts sort of thing. But yeah, he probably should not have been fired. The apology is probably enough though. And the way he said it too is like, I just wasn't thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
That is some irony though, isn't it? Like, if all things considered, like, yeah, he wasn't thinking, his mind was in the right place, he's tired, he just wanted to throw that phrase out there one more time. It's just another athlete on the field, or athlete on the court in this case. And all those things came together to produce this headline. Pretty ironic, when you say.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely, sort of a perfect storm, like sort of a tornado hitting a junkyard and producing like a perfectly working plane. Like everything had to be perfect for him to do this. And not.
I thought you were gonna say a tornado hitting a junkyard, producing a perfectly understandable racial slur.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I think that, you know, if you truly want to work towards a society where people aren't racist, then you have to believe somebody when they say they didn't do something in a racist, you know, to be racist.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree with that. And like I said, I mean, I think that he honestly should have been called out on this. That's about as far as it goes, though. Like, somebody should be like, hey, Anthony, what the hell were you thinking? It's Jeremy Lin, you know, and you use chink in the armor in the headline. And then that just give that person the chance to say, like, look, I'm really sorry. Did not mean this in the way that it looks. We can also get mad at wacky theology, too. And that's what's next.
Because
we're going to be talking about Santorum. Yep, that's a segue. It's a Santorum segue. This time, Santorum's Satan targeting U.S. speech resurfaces. This was from a 2008 speech given at a Catholic university in Florida by Rick Santorum, in which he's telling the audience that America was in the midst of a spiritual war because Satan was corroding the country's foundations. And he says, in quote, Satan has done so by attacking the great institutions of America, using those great vices of pride, vanity, and sensuality as the root to attack all of the strong plants that has so deeply rooted in the American tradition. And he goes on to say in that speech, this is a spiritual war, and the father of lies, I'm guessing that's Satan, has his sights set on what you would think the father of lies, Satan, oh, he goes on to say it there, would have his sights on. A good, decent, powerful, influential country, the United States of America. If you were Satan, who would you attack on this day and age? There is no one else to go after other than the United States. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is insane. Like, a few episodes, and I mean, we've referenced it a few times since then because it's so goofy. Like, some country, Saudi Arabia or somewhere, around there, like, is putting to death people that they have, you know, deemed guilty of sorcery. And I thought this country was above all that. But no, apparently we got a guy who's perceived as a serious contender to be the leader of America. And he's saying that actual, physical, real demons are attacking our country. It's incredible. It is incredible. There's no... It's unbelievable.
Well, to his credit, I think he's probably making light of Paradise Lost ethereal demons who you can't kill but can like attack you or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, either way, like if you personify, like if you suggest that the devil is a real thing with real goals, who is putting in motion real plans as if he were a real person, then you should go to a real insane asylum. And I mean, this is not even like, you know, whatever. Like, if you want to believe in God and the devil and whatever, like, as sort of just vague things that exist sort of in the afterlife, whatever. You know, have fun. But man, when you start saying, like, we have to mobilize our military to stop the threat from Satan, then you're a fucking crazy person. And nobody should believe you when you say you're running for president. And yet he gets votes. People are voting for him. People want him to be their leader. And that's fucking frightening.
Well, how surprised would you be when he does get elected and then Satan shows up at his inauguration and tells him and the rest of America and the rest of the world that shit's about to get real, real, real fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because Santorum was the only one who could perceive that Satan, father of lies, Satan, is on the warpath to take out America.
Yeah,
which Satan. is somehow retaining all the qualities and virtues of 1980s G.I. Joe cartoons. I'm on a G.I. Joe kick today. That's so, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably show up, you know, as Santorum's being sworn in and Satan's all, hey, Santorum, it's me and you. finally, your president, I'm the king of lies or whatever.
Father of lies.
You know, it's time.
It's like father of five or something like that.
Yeah. Finally, it's go time between me and you. And we'll even make it a tag team match. I got Chris Brown. You got CM Punk. I got the racist reporter. You got Jeremy Lin. Six-man tag team match.
Yeah, I would prefer it if Satan sounded like Macho Man Randy Savage. Not that he should be Macho Man. I just would love to have that voice.
That's how I imagine Satan looking, is a lot like Macho Man.
It's a lot less frightening than most depictions of Satan. Way more appealing, by the way.
Yeah. Snap into some lies.
Step into the father of lies, brother.
Ooh, yeah. I guess yeah. Elizabeth.
It's not like a, you know, an eternity of fire and brimstone, just an eternity of elbow drops and chairs to the back. And snake bites to the peck.
Yeah, it's shocking that, you know, this is what Santorum wants to focus on, is Satan. You know, when, I mean, you know, people are like, we've got, you know, this economic turmoil, like insane turmoil, like, you know, people, so many people don't have the jobs, so many people don't have the money. We got a new Cold War looming between, you know, like with Iran and Russia, you know, and all this. We got North Korea doing some crazy stuff. You know, we got, you know, Israel's talking about bombing everybody, like all this stuff going on like that. And yet, Rick Santorum, rather than deal with any of those real issues that like really affect people, we got to worry about Satan, what he's up to. It's insane. I mean, this is why nobody, I just don't understand, like, why, and, you know, and it's sort of like this with all the Republicans that have been running in this primary, aside from, of course, Ron Paul. But, you know, like, they're all worried about, you know, they're all like, oh, you know, nobody has jobs, and, like, nobody can afford anything, and everybody's starving to death in the streets. I'm using hyperbole, of course, but, you know, that's happening. And then, of course, these new wars on the horizon. Well, we've certainly got to put an end to abortion, eh? That's certainly on top of the docket. We've got to make sure gay people don't get married. That'll certainly, that's the most important thing, I think. I mean, all my advisors have advised me that gay people are the most important possible thing happening in America right now. It's like, I don't know. It seems just insane to me that. That's their whole thing, that these people want to run America so that they can stop abortion and so that they can fight the devil. It's fucking insane.
I think that there's a correlation between like these points of time when there's, you know, economic turmoil and a lot of questionable questioning about what's going to be happening in the future, whether it's like your own economic future or just, you know, will you be able to keep your house? And that's when people turn to theology and this sort of thing.
Absolutely. That's, you know, it's that on sort of a personal kind of a level, like, oh, you know, I lost my job and I don't have my house anymore. And, oh, well, I need Jesus. Jesus will get me through it. It's that. But and then it's also sort of,
it expands way too much.
Yeah, and it's also the fact that, you know, people who are running, like Santorum and Rick Perry and, to a lesser extent, Mitt Romney and people like this, like, they don't have any answers for how to get that guy a job and how to get that guy his house back. So they...
It's Satan, yeah.
It's got to be Satan. It's got to be Satan and the gays. Satan and the gays are what's doing it. But, like, you know, I don't have a financial plan that will work for you, but if you vote for me, I'll make sure that gays don't take your house.
Which wasn't even like, yeah, that wasn't even a thing to begin with.
Yeah.
It's just like, gays won't get married under my watch, but I'm starving. Yep, not under my watch, those gays won't get married. Yeah, I totally agree. These podiums, not the podiums, but the platforms that they're using are just not in line with anything that's pertinent. Like, no one should care about those things that you just listed. Like, if you want to get married, go ahead and get married. Enjoy, like, the tax breaks and living with someone for the rest of your life. Then, so be it. You know? But, yeah, the spiritual war, and especially the way he phrases it in that speech, is just, it's not even a part of, it should not be a part of politics or governing. Of governing at all. Like, I mean, we were talking about in America specifically, but let's face it, this happens everywhere. Like, there's always some sort of radical turn going on. And we have theological states in the world where people, like you said, stone others to death, or you might be a wizard, so we'll drown you. Like, this happens constantly. It's more terrifying than it happens here, because at least we have this more recent history of being, you know, progressively intellectual and launching people to the moon, for Christ's sake. That, yeah, like, why is this even a speech that would be a thing?
Yeah.
Like, going back through presidential histories and presidential speeches, I'm not aware of one yet. And I'm not, like, a presidential scholar by any means. But, yeah, this is odd that this is a guy who's in a, he's a contender at the moment. I hopefully after this, like, it seemed like, oh, this guy's batshit insane. Let's not let him fight his holy war with our country. What even confused me more about this is that he gave this speech at a Catholic university. Like, I totally understand where he's going with this. He's like, all right, now I'm on, you know, grounds where I can unleash this wackadoo nonsense about my theological beliefs, where Satan's tormenting the roots of good America, which, you know, is bullshit anyway. Like, I don't know where he gets this Hulk Hogan idea of America, but so be it. It's being corrupted. And yeah, just him living in his fantasy land decides to unleash this idea of his at this Catholic university in this speech. It's still a university. I mean, even if it's a religious one, it's still going to have logical points of thought. And you have to set up this argument way better than just saying, hey, you know, all knows Satan. Well, he's here too.
Yeah.
I brought pictures of him with a Van Dyke facial hair and wearing a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. Yeah, it's just insane. I agree. This is insanity. And hopefully this comes out and just, you know, lets him go back to his fantasy land.
Yeah.
Little bubbles.
Like you said, it's, you know, it's so sad and disheartening that the country that, you know, figures out how to do the thing that, you know, the very first human wanted to do, like the very first human probably in between trying to build fire and trying to figure out if living in a cave was a good idea, was like, wow, there's like a big shiny object in the sky, big moon-like shiny object. I hope to one day go there. Maybe there's food there. You know, maybe there's stuff going on there. And then, you know, tens of thousands of years later, America is the first to get there. We walk on that thing that every single living human since the dawn of time has wanted to walk on. We do it. And yet here, 50 years after that, we're also saying that a big red guy with horns and cloven feet is the root of all our problems.
It's apparently, yeah.
Fucking shocking and sad. Well, let's get on to some sadder news. What's the next thing on the Lightning Round?
Oh, Jesus. It's China again. Former female wrestler China has another porno out. This is a TMZ report. It says China is finally getting back in the ring, taking on 9 dudes at the same time, except it's for a porno movie.
You can't even read this. You're just so upset.
I'm bummed. Yeah, it has a picture of her fighting a fake Hulk Hogan. And the fake Hulk Hogan looks really bad. It looks like, I don't know. It looks like a, what's his name? Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah.
Just wearing yellow boots and yellow bandana. Yeah, apparently China is totally serious about pursuing a XXX career and just wrapped up on a Royal Rumble-inspired flick in which she locks up with a bunch of dudes who all look like famous wrestlers, including a wannabe Hulk Hogan, a wannabe Triple H, and a wannabe Ric Flair, and more. Yeah. WWE has no comment on this yet. It's really strange. What's even kind of weirder and more incestuous about this is seeing that it mentions it here too. There's the fake Triple H in this porn that she's doing when she had actually dated the real Triple H before he had married Stephanie McMahon in 2003. It just makes it even weirder. Like, it was already really weird. The picture is very weird. And now that's even stranger.
Yeah, that's quite possibly the most bizarre part of this. I guess be careful what you wish for. You know, a million episodes ago when we first talked about China getting into porn, my gripe was that she just did, just some normal porn. It was just her in an empty warehouse just having sex with people. There was no plot or anything. And I was like, oh, well, you know, they should have at least done a wrestling thing. You know, I'd done like one of these porn parodies. And
well, your wish got answered.
Yeah, and I don't know if I really wanted it. Sort of like that movie The Wishmaster. But yeah, this is a bummer for China.
This is a bummer for me, too. I'm glad this is at least the last story of the lightning round, because that was a bummer.
Which brings us to our favorite correspondence-based part of the show. Frisbee got mail.
Got mail.
This week, we do not have mail.
Well, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. That's very nice of you to listen to this sad, sad lightning round episode. So go to our website, poolpartyradio.com. We have all the episodes up there, almost 50 episodes. You can download them all. You can listen to them. You can love them. You can also go to that website to find our link to iTunes in the top left corner. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the show. That way you no longer have to download episodes. They'll just come right to you. You can also go there and leave us a review or a comment, which would be awesome. As we've said, we'll owe you a solid if you leave us a review or comment. Go also to our Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio, and like us. We've gotten quite a few the last couple of weeks, so it's been super fun to wake up in the morning, check my Facebook, and it says, some dude or lady likes Pool Party Radio. Makes me happy. Makes you happy, Mr. Frisbee?
Always. Nice. Always like seeing new likes. Always like feeling liked.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It really helps us out. Emotionally.
Yeah. Yes, very much emotionally. Feel less depressed and stressed out when I'm assured that hundreds of people like us.
Also, like I said earlier, go to illogicalcontraption.blogspot.com or search for Illogical Contraption on iTunes and get their most recent episode, which features me talking about Julian Sands and Juggalos and stuff like that, and junk food dinner stuff. It was a fun time. So get that. Also, me and Frisbee were both on the most recent episode of Acid Pop Cult, which you can get at acidpopcult.com. We played a trivia game, and it was fun.
It was very fun. Yeah, go check that out as well.
Yeah.
I got the first place and enjoyed watching Look on DVD and Chillerama as my prizes.
Yeah, I haven't watched Look yet. Have you watched Chillerama?
Not all of it, but yeah.
The first story is the best. The Rifkin one about the sperm, the monster sperm.
Yeah.
Also, a past guest on this show, Aaron Keith Harris, is now doing a podcast where he talks to political types. It's a libertarian podcast. It's called Declare. It's the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Ohio. You can find that on iTunes. Just search for like Declare Libertarian or something like that. Or go to declareohio.blogspot.com. He interviewed former Governor Gary Johnson, and it was a cool interview. So if you are into that kind of thing, check that podcast out too. So yeah, so this is Parker for Jason Frisbee saying fuck you, Chelios.
Cross, creviced, chasms, vast and endless plains of unshaven ass. Our time in hell draws to the last. We call upon the master of the pit. Have you got a toilet? I must take the shit. Open your gates, Lord of Hate, or your front porch is gonna get it. Very well, I'll use my sword.
it's very good at smashing doors.
We call you out! Overrated overlord!
The root of all evil and hatred and shame. So many victims, so many names.
But they are all the same. Erashkagel! Shaul! Helel Ben Saha! Lucifer, Satan, we know who you are! Pain is the one who will not be named! Pain is the one who will not be blamed!
For nothing!
The realm of the sun we have left far behind, and damned in the darkness we grope with the blind. Cannot remember time! We summon the Lord of Hell, so come forth now!
Could it be?